I had kind of a rough life growing up. My dad was very physical. So my mother put me into martial arts when I was 10. So I'd have self-defense growing up against my father. Then when I hit my teenage years, I got into sports real big and made it good in that. Went to college, played in a rock and roll band. I didn't meet the Eternal Grandmaster until later, till 1969, through a tournament that I was fighting in Tucson, Arizona. And that, back then it was called Midwest Karate Federation. And some of the guys that I hung around with said that it might be a good place for me to go, because I needed discipline, I needed some direction, I needed something for my life instead of just being a smart aleck.
When I first went to school up there in Omaha, like I said, I had long hair down the middle of my back, and I really didn't have respect for anybody, because everybody I'd met at that point was, their egos were so big, all they wanted to do is see if you could fight or not. And when he first met me, he kind of looked at me and looked at my hair, and he said, get your uniform, get ready for class. And I said, all right. But I started in the back of class, and we did, you know, basic punches from a middle stance, and all of a sudden now we're doing this number two leg swing thing. Never seen a kick above my waist in my life. And all of a sudden all these people around me, their legs are flying over the top of their head, and mine's coming about right here. I felt really inferior by the kicking that this man had taught these students. Towards the end of class, they're doing some sparring. So he brought me out to spar some of his black belts. And I fought in open tournaments. I knew no rules. I mean, foot sweeps, face punches, groin kicks, that was all legal to me back then. And the first person came out, and I swept him and smacked him in the head. And he went down, and he brought another one out. Basically the same thing. So I sparred about three or four of his students. And he stopped. And he, in his broken English way, he stood in front of the class. He says, "You think this guy's pretty good?" And they're all sitting there going. So he turned around and says, "Okay, you and me spar now." I'm like, "Fine, here goes again, you know." And so he was just so funny when he sparred. He's like a bumblebee. I mean, his hands are up here. He's just kind of motivating like that. And I thought, well, he's short. I'm going to get him. I made one move. Next thing I knew, he's picking me up off the floor. I was like, what did he hit me with? I mean, he knocked me down about six or seven times. And I still, today, I know it's now a sidekick that he hit me with over and over and over. But the first thing he hit me was a jump round kick. I mean, spun my head right around my shoulders. And so I sat down on the floor, and he dismissed the class. And he came out and... sat in front of me. And he said, "What do you want me to teach you?" And I just kind of looked at him and I said, "If you can teach me how to do a good low block, I'd really appreciate it." So that's where we started.
After that first night that we just talked about, because I had long hair, like I said, and the next day I came into the studio, because I was there for the weekend, and he came in and he gave me $2 and told me to go across the street and get my hair cut.
Because he's kind of hippie. Got long hair and wiggly shirt, and he wore this, what it's called, the sandals. First, when you go home, you have to clean up first. And also, your attitude's not good, so you go back, you change all that, then you're going to come back.
So I went across the street and cut off about an inch and a half. And I came back in, and he said, "That's not enough." You know, so I went back and had a little bit more.
Then somehow I thought he's not going to come, but he will come back again. And really nice that, okay, now you do. When I ask you to come, you come, tell me what to do, you better do it. And so you say, "Yes, sir, no, sir." Okay, you're good enough. So since I adopted him.
So, you know, he always called me a hippie because I was. And then I realized that that wasn't important. It's just that it made him laugh. Because it was just a nickname for me.
I told him to not say those kind of story, but still he been opened his big mouth around.
Well, we were at headquarters one day with one of Grandmaster Lee's younger brothers, and I'd said to him, I said, "You know, we're doing these forms that they really have a background other than than a Korean background. And I said, we need our own forms, not somebody else's forms. And he said, well, why don't you go tell Grandmaster? And I thought, well, this is a pretty brazen thing to do. But I found out right away, you never offer a suggestion, because if you do, you'll also get the assignment. So when I went there and I said, sir, I said, what we need right now is our own forms. And he said, that's exactly what I'm looking for. So why don't you start? So I took our old forms that I knew, and we sat down and we talked about it, and I took a broken board that someone had broken, and we started drawing, and we ended up with the star. The very first day that it was, the first day we talked about it, the star was conceived.
It's the medical symbol of the person that has his arms out, his feet spread, and it's a circle. And they say that from the center point of the body that's even all the way to that, that's kind of where the beginning came to develop that, because it was everything was even. In the old styles, the forms that we did, nothing was ever even. You'd start in one point and end up somewhere else.
And at that point, we laid all the forms out. Within 2 or 3 days, the pattern of all the forms was laid out based on the Sungam star. They all start in one place on the star, which we call home, and then you leave home and you travel all around the star, and then you come back at the end of each form, and just like you do at the end of each day. And there's a whole philosophy built into the forms, and it's in all of our books, and you'll see it throughout Sungam is a philosophy that's based on the forms. The Sungam forms, there's nothing like it anywhere in the world. You look at any other set of forms, there's no connection from one form to another. But the star forms, the Sungam forms, are pretty remarkable.
And what we did was we took and put like all the hand techniques that are around in almost every style, all the kicking techniques, all the stances, and we just started kind of eliminating, because a lot of things were double. And then as a white belt wanted to be created, my grandmaster said, okay, we're going to have high block, low block, reverse punch, and front kick, and side kick. Okay, so now put it together. So that's kind of how it started, is that he would say, okay, these are the techniques we want to have at this level. Now you guys go do it. We get together and videotape and then send it to Grandmaster, and then he'd change it around or whatever he wanted to do with it, you know.
I also learned about details, because you do a technique and he'd say, you think that's right? And he would change it maybe a quarter of an inch. I found out that the details really do matter through the creation of the form. And Master Oliver and I spent, you know, probably 5 years of our life, that's all we worried about, and that's all we talked about. And of course, Grandmaster was over us all the time and giving us direction, and it came out pretty well.
I believe that one of the biggest things that he ever did for me is he gave us the privilege to help create the style of Sungam and create the forms. To me, that was something beyond the realm, because we always learned other styles back then, and they always came from ancient. Here we were, he was allowing me to be a part of changing history. Not a lot of people get to do that, and everybody that's in the ATA organization changed history. Whether they realize it or not, they changed martial arts history forever. I think that probably one of the biggest things that I had a student that came to me that was a blind student, and it was a radical, and they couldn't control him in school, and he was about 15 years old, and I had no clue how to teach a blind person. And so I called the Eternal Grandmaster and I said, how would you teach a blind person? And he goes, I don't know, figure it out. And I taught him with clickers in his hand, with my hands, so I could click and he could hear it and he'd follow it. So he learned to block, he learned to listen, he learned to follow, he learned discipline. I did the same thing with him, I make him sit on the floor and get patience. And he earned his black belt. You know, I thought that all I was going to do was teach people how to fight and how to defend themselves. But I never thought I'd affect people's lives and be a real teacher.
My instructor, Chief Master Allmayer, has been an inspiration to me from day one. He's the reason I started the ATA. He's the reason I'm still here. He's been an inspiration. He's been a father. He's been a mentor. He's been a disciplinarian. He puts me aside when I need to be, and he teaches me the things I need to know. A lot of my ATA career is based on what he's taught me.
Even though they could kick 3 feet above their head and I'm working on a waist kick, he made me believe in myself. And it took me a lot longer than the rest of them. But because of the way he believed in me and I started believing in myself. That's when I started winning in tournaments, and I was never a natural athlete. And he taught me to believe in myself.
I was a green belt. That's the first time I met him, and he came to me and he's yelled my name, very military-like. He fixed my middle stance with his famous finger point in my chest, and of course I'm probably about 135 pounds. He's just very intimidating person, and I wanted discipline. I wanted hard workouts, and I kept going back. He's always been there. He's always kind of looking after me.
I guess through every hardship that I've ever gone through, he's either called me up when he finds out about it, or he's been right there for me. I'd have to say he's pushed me along at the times, making sure that, you know, it's not about yourself, it's about your students, being the good leader for them. He's a jokester at times. You know, he can be a big jokester, and not many people really know that. People like him and Master Clark, I understand from years ago, they would do all kinds of practical jokes to one another. If they really got to understand and see that portion of them all, they'd really have a different attitude towards him.
When I first started, I didn't realize the scope of it or even the impact or what it meant at that time. Because he was a fourth degree, and I believe he was soon to be testing for fifth degree. Looking back at it now, I said, oh my God, I was there at the beginning of some amazing journey for this man and for the organization. And
Chief Master Robert Allemeyer.
I don't know in my life without your dad what would have happened to me. We've changed a million people's lives. You can't help but just keep going and wonder now the next generation. I do hope that they keep the tradition. I do hope they keep the heart and the spirit of Songam Taekwondo, and that's what's important to me. The spirit of martial arts and the spirit of Songam Taekwondo comes from your heart and internally, and it doesn't do any good unless you give it to somebody else. And that's what's been given to me, and I'm passing it on. This organization has blessed many people's lives as they have blessed ours. I think he'd be really proud of our movements and what we're doing. I really do.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the 2013 ATA Lifetime Achievement Award recipient, Chief Master Robert Allemeyer.
Welcome to episode 84 of the ATA Nation podcast.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation podcast.
Students, instructors, parents of Songam Taekwondo, welcome back to the ATA Nation podcast, episode number 84. Today, we spend some time recognizing and remembering the legacy of Grandmaster Allemeyer, one of the original founders of our organization. The audio you heard before this intro is from the YouTube clip, the YouTube video of Grandmaster Alemeyer receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award. If you haven't watched the video, you really should see the images as part of it. It's so important for us as we, you know, move further away from our founding years that we remember those that were part of the founding, remember their heart, remember their stories so that we can continue their legacy. Today, I want to bring you a couple of stories. We have just some things I've read online, some things for myself, and then we have an interview that I want to share with you, stories of Grandmaster Alemeyer. First, let me start with my own story. My very first experience with meeting at the time, it was probably just Master Alemeyer. I don't remember for sure. Was up in Lansing, Michigan. I am from the region 102 that Grandmaster Alemeyer started. He was up in Lansing doing a seminar for the Single Bung Mangi. It was the first ProTek seminar I ever took. It was probably 96, maybe 95, 90, no, probably 96. I was, you know, a teenager. And I was riding up in the vehicle with my instructor to the seminar, and I remember them talking about how Grandmaster Alemeyer was pretty intimidating and could be pretty strict. And so, as a first degree black belt, as a you know a teenager, I was kind of scared. I was like, I'm gonna not make much eye contact. I'm going to make sure I just say yes, sir, and I do what exactly I'm told, so I'm not doing a billion pushups or whatever. And, you know, it was a great seminar. I remember afterwards thinking, oh, man, he wasn't as intimidating as I thought because that I had grown into this thing that I was just super scared of. And then years and years and years later, he was up as a special guest at a tournament in Lansing as well. And I was the RTTL, and I was doing introductions, and I introduced him incorrectly. I can't remember if he was a grandmaster at that point or just a chief master, but I used the wrong title, and I was like, man, I am going to die right here. You know, I'm going to be doing push-ups. And he was gracious and didn't say anything about it, and I was very pleased because I was very, you know, still intimidated. He's kind of my great-grandfather instructor through my lineage. And, you know, I've heard lots of amazing stories, got to interact with him at leadership camps and things like that. You know, not as closely as many people, but, you know, it was amazing to meet him. And it's important for us to remember him and his legacy. I'm going to bring you this story Master Fayette put online, a friend of mine. This was in 2005. I'm going to read it right from his Facebook. Teaching tigers in a school I had just bought from Senior Master Floka. Mr. Fayette, you have a phone call. My program director at the time came in the middle of class. I'm teaching. No, you want to take this one. On the other line, son, this is Chief Master Alemeyer. I dropped the phone. Yes, sir. You see, for me, my heroes were these great men in the ATA. My instructor, Master Floka, had always spoken so highly of him. It was like talking to a celebrity. He said, that's my school you have. You see, Lansing, Michigan was the second school ever opened in the ATA. How are you doing, son? You good? How can I help? I want you to go to a seminar with my friend, Grandmaster Clark and Chief Master Von Schmeling. It was called The Power of Double. That'll show you how to run your school. You go, you learn, then you come to Dallas and I'll train you. That conversation and care to take a moment and really connect changed the trajectory of my career and my life forever. An example of how this leadership affected me is a very direct and poignant way. He called Master Floka his son. I am his grandson in the martial arts. thank you for setting the path and foundation for all of us. You will be missed. That's from Master Fayette. Senior Master Floka is a student of Grandmaster Olemeyer's, very close with him. And I really love this line that he put in a post on Facebook. It says, you being Eternal Grandmaster's H.U. Lee's right-hand man, along with the other founders' council members, is what made ATA strong. Time to rest, sir. Your legacy has it now. And that's so important for us. We're his legacy. We're the people who have to pick up the mantle and continue to make the ATA great because of what these men did. We've got another story here with Chief Master Tammy Harvey Stauber. So let's get to that real quick.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, we are very pleased to have with us an individual who's getting ready to test for ninth degree, Chief Master Tammy Harvey Lamberson. How are you today? Or Stauber, excuse me, man. Yes, how are you today, ma'am?
I'm good. I'm great. Thank you, sir.
And we wanted to have you on today because obviously in this episode, we are celebrating the life of Grandmaster Olemeyer. And this is somebody you know, you knew very well, you know, you were there back in the day. We just would like to hear, you know, maybe a story or two that you have of Grandmaster Olemeyer.
Yes, sir. You know, I was 12 years old when I met Grandmaster Olemeyer. And obviously in the beginning, I was just this child and was in total awe of him. He was still in competition. And actually my original instructor, who was Finest Shelnut, and Grandmaster Clark and Grandmaster Olemeyer traveled throughout the United States as the ATA Black Belt team. And that was before ATA had closed, obviously closed tournaments. So they were going up against all styles and you name it. And they were the three that went out and fought and kind of started putting ATA on the map as far as us, our Taekwondo abilities and the ATA and Grandmaster Olemeyer was the heavyweight of the three. There were a lightweight, medium weight, and heavyweight. So that was a fun to be a part of and know all about that. For me personally, probably one of my favorite stories with Grandmaster Olemeyer is I was 17 years old, I guess, and had gone up to Lansing for a national tournament. And we were had gone to his school, and it was myself and gentleman named Ron Turchi, who was a fifth degree in the ATA. And we had all gone up there for the tournament and gone to the school. And I wanted to work out, but I didn't have my uniform. And Grandmaster Olemeyer, I was a third degree at that point. He was already a fifth degree. And he just said, well, go in there in my office and you can just put my pants on. Well, if anybody knows me, I'm 5'7". And he was a giant. And I kind of looked at him and I said, are you sure? And he said, sure, go in there and get my pants, put them on, you can work out. Well, when I put those pants on and it had the leg stripe, as we called it, the racing stripe, as I put those pants on and I looked down my leg and I thought, oh man, this feels so good. Maybe one day I'll have that. And I think that was probably one of my best workouts ever, was to be able to wear those pants and just to kick and punch and have that racing stripe going down my leg before I really ever had that racing stripe. So that was a great memory for me. There's also in 1991, when we went to Korea for camp, we had done camp and all of us had gone back to Seoul, Korea, and we were all shopping in Itaewon, and myself and Grandmaster Clark decided we were going to play a joke on Grandmaster Alemeyer. And so we went and had him a new black belt embroidered, and it was all in Korean writing. And so at the end of camp, we presented it to him, and Grandmaster Clark, at that time, they weren't grandmasters. They, you know, I think they, I don't even know if they were chief masters.
Yes, ma'am.
And they, Grandmaster Clark did this big presentation, and we handed it to him. Well, on one side in Korean, it said American Taekwondo Association. On the other side, he thought it said Robert S. Alemeyer. But what we had embroidered on there was Alice in Wonderland. And he didn't know that. And the only person or the people that would ever know what that said would be anyone that could read Korean. And it was probably 2 years later. He was at a tournament, and I'm not even sure who came up to him, and they said, they grabbed his belt and said, "You know what this says?" And he said, "Yes, sir. It's my name. Grandmaster Clark and Master Tammy gave me this as a gift." And he said, "That not say Robert Alemeyer. That's a Alice in Wonderland." And it wasn't long till we both got phone calls and said, "I can't believe you guys have done this." And for me personally, back on March the 25th of this year, Grandmaster Alemeyer had sent me a text, and the weather was bad in Michigan, and it was iced over, and there was this really pretty cardinal in the tree. And he sent me this text, and underneath it, it just said Alice in Wonderland.
Oh.
And I sent him a text back, and it was a real pretty day here in Little Rock. And my picture I sent back, and I just said springtime in Little Rock. And then I talked to him. I talked to him a little bit after that. So, you know, my memories of him are very fond, and he was a dear, dear friend of mine, of my family's. He loved to hunt and fish. Him and my dad fished together, duck hunted together with Grandmaster H. U. Lee. He was the kind of friend that I could pick up the phone at any time and call him, and he was there for me. And I will obviously miss his Taekwondo abilities and contributions, but his friendship to me, from a little girl to where I am now, is you know, I will carry those memories, and I know I'll see him one day again. But until then, I'll just hold him in my heart.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to share those stories with us. How special that is. And I think hearing about the friendships that these individuals had, you know, Grandmaster Clark, Grandmaster Alemeyer, Eternal Grandmaster, really shows the kind of the heart that is the ATA, how that those friendships are what built this amazing organization, and the spirit that we continue as this family, you know, and stories like you've mentioned today, I think really help us see how what they did in those early days has really built what we have and benefited all of us greatly.
Yes, sir, I agree. You know, kicking and punching is just a very small part of really what we do. And even with our own schools and our own students, you know, those relationships that you build, they do last a lifetime. And mm-hmm. As for me personally, you know, there's from 1973, I've still got some dear friendships with the people that I met, you know, in those first camps, and Grandmaster Alemeyer. Every camp that I attended, he was always there. And he, you know, a lot of people, I don't think, especially in these last 10 years, I guess, just because of his health and mm-hmm. those issues, he wasn't as visible as he was in those early years, in those, you know, 90s and 2000 years. But he literally was Grandmaster H.U. Lee's right-hand man. And this organization would not be where it is today without his help.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
I really, you know, hope and pray, and if it's up to me, his legacy will live. His legacy will live on as long as I'm a part of this organization, and he will be greatly missed.
Yes, ma'am. I think there are many, many out there who agree with you, who are working hard to continue his legacy, you know, throughout the ATA. You know, it's our job now as our founding generation, you know, starts to continue to get older and, you know, we move forward. It's our job to, you know, honor these individuals, learn from what they have done, and pick up the torch and carry it. So, again, I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for your stories, and thank you for, your passion for the ATA and continuing, the great organization that we have.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the time, wish everybody the very, very best, and can't wait to see the future of our organization and how far we can take it, and the next generation can carry it on also.
Thank you, ma'am. I want to thank everybody online for their stories, and I'm going to encourage you, as part of ATA Nation, to reach out to your seniors. And ask them to tell you a story about Grandmaster Alemeyer. We need to remember these stories. We need to hear these stories so we can remember what's truly at the heart of the ATA. And it was these gentlemen, these individuals who were there at the very beginning. So reach out to those individuals today, and your seniors, and ask them about it. Grandmaster Alemeyer, have them tell you some stories so you can hear those stories and you can tell them to your students someday as well. So that's going to wrap up our episode for today. You know, please share this episode so we can continue sharing the legacy of Grandmaster Alemeyer.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
I know one of the stories that I tell my students sometimes, especially when they get a no change, or they're dealing with a no change that they've gotten in the past or whatnot, is I tell them that, you know, the highest ranking, you know, American in the ATA at the time, testing for 8th degree black belt, got a no change. You know, one of the guys who started it all, and he got a no change. And I tell him, you know, what an amazing thing to you know, have happened, shows the integrity of our organization, shows the character of our organization, and it shows the character of Grandmaster Alemeyer. Just, you know, a great man, you know, someone we want to remember and share. So thanks for tuning in, guys.